Hey, this is Wade with WadeForWireless.com, and today I want to talk about Wi-Fi, LTE, and aggregation, specifically carrier aggregation. And so just want to say welcome. Hi, everybody. Hope you're all having a good week. Just want to say hi, get that out of the way. I want to thank Tower Safety for being my sponsor, TowerSafety.com. TowerSafety.com, one word, easy to do, where the best get better. They do safety training, tower training, basically have all your training needs there ready for deployment. Let's get into deployment. Speaking of deployment, let's talk about this Wi-Fi, LTE, and aggregation. One of the things that a lot of people don't understand with the new deployments is that Wi-Fi is going to play a big part of it. Now, are you going to deploy small cells and Wi-Fi together? Maybe, maybe not. The reason I say that is because you really don't want them to share the backhaul, but I'll get into that in a minute. Let's go over the history here. You know, Wi-Fi was always a carrier offload solution, right? And the carriers always favored the license band because that's how they make their money. They make their money off the license band. Well, times they are changing. So the customer doesn't care much about that anymore. They want their bandwidth. Now, don't get me wrong. They still want to be able to make calls. They still want to be able to use their smartphone or their tablets for everything. The reality is they need more bandwidth. The carriers have to solve that solution. So the carriers have just spent billions on all this spectrum, but they already have spectrum. So what they can do to make it better is make it all work together, no matter what the transport is. That's what they need to do. The reason they still like the license bands, it's clean. It's basically their bread and butter because they're going to have that coverage everywhere. That's what they're counting on. But if they can supplement the bandwidth with Wi-Fi, they're going to do it. I'm hoping, you know, when I put this out, which is roughly in August of 2015, T-Mobile's making a push for their voice over Wi-Fi. They've already released it, and I think they're realizing how hard it is. Not only from technology, they have the technology working, but just from utilizing Wi-Fi hotspots and partnerships and things like that. See, there's more to it than just saying, hey, we got voice over Wi-Fi, which is great when you're home, in your home, because I would imagine most of you have a broadband connection and probably have Wi-Fi in the house, right? For one, Wi-Fi offloads it, so you aren't paying the carrier all those data charges. And two, it's just convenient to have, especially, you know, if multiple people use the connection. Not everyone has to plug in. Wi-Fi, you can connect your whole home, whether no matter where it is or what it is, as long as you have a cable modem. But as long as you have some type of broadband connection to your house, whether it be DSL, cable modem, ISDN, whatever the hell you got. So this is a good way to do it, okay? So T-Mobile's voice over Wi-Fi, the feedback I got from people using it in their house, dedicated Wi-Fi works great. They love it. You know, it offloads T-Mobile. I don't know how they track the minutes or the billing or anything, but they say it really works well. So now you got something. You can use a carrier. You can use Wi-Fi, whatever you have connection. The other feedback I got was when they used it in a public place where there's like 10 hotspots, horrible, worked horribly. It's not T-Mobile's fault. It's the Wi-Fi. You know, Wi-Fi, you have 10 hotspots. Quality goes way down. And I'll get into that in a minute. But anyways, kudos to T-Mobile for doing that. I got to give them a lot of credit. This is something that is really impressive. You know, Verizon Wireless has been doing Volte for a while, and probably AT&T. I didn't give them any credit. But Verizon Wireless has been doing Volte for a while. But how do you get the customer to pay for that? You know, it's really something I don't see the customer paying extra for HD voice. Maybe they will. Maybe some people will. You know, what do I know? But I think the reality is they're going to do it so they can sunset the 3G system that much faster and start saving money, I would assume, on rent and everything, depending upon what they do, or at least just displace it with LTE to get a bigger pipe to the customer. But I'd like to, again, congratulate T-Mobile for doing voice over Wi-Fi. That was impressive. I think, like I said, they're running into issues, but it has less to do with technology and more to do with the partnership of the Wi-Fi carriers, or the Wi-Fi providers. I think that's what they're running into. But, you know, they're signing new deals, they're making inroads, they have a plan. What I was trying to do is put together everything on LTE and Wi-Fi working together, and also LTE-U, LTE unlicensed. That was another thing. So this was, you know, hard for me to research, at least. It just took me a while to get everything together. I was really trying to get something that made sense here. I have a bunch of links in there you can go to. You know, there's different people. Nokia, Ericsson, Fierce Wireless has articles. Ruckus has a good article on LTE-U. Let me just get into it. It took me a long time. Again, if you're wondering why this is going to happen, it's the demands. The user wants more data, more data, more data. They want it wirelessly. They want to get as much as they can. And with the spectrum we have, you know, everyone says we'll run out at some point. But the reality is we have to do the best with the spectrum we have. We have to get the biggest bang for our buck. So every megabit we use out there, we want to get the biggest bang for our buck. We want to get the megabit through as efficiently as possible, whether we're using Wi-Fi or the carrier. I think the carriers are realizing that. They know there's a spectrum crunch. They know they have to build fast, and they probably can't build fast enough for most people. They know they have to sunset 2G and 3G and use that spectrum for LTE and 4G. The OEMs had to figure out a way to get LTE and Wi-Fi to play nice together. Qualcomm came up with some help from Ericsson, several different ways to do it. Qualcomm and Ericsson really came up with one way, but Qualcomm just started going nuts on this. Because? Why? The end game? They want to sell chips. Just remember, for the sake of this article, this is LTE. I'm really going to concentrate on LTE and nothing else, because, you know, the assumption is that someday 3G will, you know, go by the wayside. And again, I always bring in small cells because I think one of the most efficient ways are small cells and C-RAN to really have everything work together to make the consumer as happy as they can. But, you know, in a building, Wi-Fi is really great. If you start getting voice over Wi-Fi, it really eliminates the need in a lot of buildings for C-RAN or the small cell, because they have a way of actually getting signal in there. So the first one is Wi-Fi offloading. Let's talk about that real quick. I'm going to make roughly 5 points here. Wi-Fi offloading is roughly what they're doing now, right? You have voice on the carrier. If you're in Wi-Fi range of a hotspot that you have access to, you're going to use it for data, for your apps, and all the other crap, assuming you have good connection to the internet. When you don't have Wi-Fi, use a carrier, right? Use a license band. Well, what they're coming to next is the wireless unified networks, or the Wi-Fi integration. So now just think of it as, you know, Wi-Fi and LTE working together. And I'm going to get into more. Trust me, I know you're probably jumping to conclusions already, but Wi-Fi could actually provide the bulk of the download, and the LTE carrier could also provide the bulk of the upload. So they're going to try to do something. They're going to try to make a protocol where they can get them to work together that way. You know, one provides downlink, one provides uplink, and you have a bigger bandwidth in theory for both, you know, assuming you have a good Wi-Fi connection. And that's what a lot of this comes down to. So the pros are, if the Wi-Fi is clean and it can carry a lot of data, you can really do a lot with it. And the carrier is happy because you're using a lot less spectrum, license spectrum. Let me put it that way. You're using your own Wi-Fi, which you probably have to your own backhaul in your house. See, this is something that they really like. Very clean, very, very efficient, and they can do it now. It works with the existing phone you have. I think the carrier has to make a change back at the core. I don't think they need to do anything else on their end. You know, I think they need to obviously set it up on their end, you know, in the core. There might be a change they have to make in the E-Node B, but, you know, it's probably a minor change. Works with your existing Wi-Fi, works with your existing phone. Maybe there might be a software upgrade to your phone, but it'll work, right? That's pretty cool. The next one I want to get into is LWA, LTE and Wi-Fi aggregation. Now, what I didn't explain here, there's something called carrier aggregation, where they take these carriers of the license carriers, and they get them all to work together to look like one big pipe, uplink, downlink, multiple bands, multiple frequencies. They get them to work together to look like one pipe. Is it there yet? They're working on it now. They have it working for two carriers. I know you can get two carriers to look like one, but I don't know how much farther they have it. Now, that's with the OEMs. And the OEMs are improving this every day. It'll come out with each release on the RAN and so on. But let's talk about what it is. So here you go. Now, LTE adds Wi-Fi, just like we were talking about prior with the unified network, but it actually adds a Wi-Fi as a carrier, and they work together. Okay, let's say they can use two links for download. You know, they can use the LTE part of the LTE band, part of the Wi-Fi band, and then for upload, it can use a little of each of that as well, the LTE and Wi-Fi. So the LWA likes to have Wi-Fi and LTE work together. They have to synchronize somehow. So there are going to be changes you have to do to the system. I think your device, the user device, you know, your smartphone, would probably need to be upgraded somehow. Maybe a firmware upgrade would do it. I don't know if you need a new chipset. I don't think you do. I think it's just a firmware upgrade. I'm just not clear on how they're going to do it. So I'm thinking they're going to put it, the carriers are going to put it in their existing system, get them to work together, and they're just going to have the aggregation of the two work together. The cons are, from what I understand, again, the UE will have to be upgraded, maybe changed out. I don't know. But it is being trialed as we speak. So it's one of these things that we're going to have to play with sooner or later. They're running trials, but it should be out real soon. But again, my understanding is, you know, it should be seamless. And I just don't know what they're going to have to do the device. Apparently nothing. That's probably why they're doing it. It's quick and easy, right? Quick, easy, and clean. And maybe some of them have done it for LWA. So next, I want to cover just briefly LTEU, which is LTE on license. And what this is, just so you know, they're going to use this in the next stage, but LTEU is unlicensed band where Wi-Fi is, probably 5.8 gigahertz on licensed band. Wi-Fi technically is in 2.4 and 5.8. And I know there's differences. Someone will probably point out that there's major differences between the two. But basically, I believe with LTEU, it's going to be in 5.8 gigahertz. And right now, that's where Wi-Fi resides. There's a lot of concerns that LTEU will wipe out Wi-Fi. But, you know, the whole interference argument, in my opinion, I don't really get the argument, and I'll tell you why. When you're somewhere where there's like 10 hotspots, they got to be interfering with each other, right? I mean, your phone is trying to pick one. You know, if one's stronger than the other, they're going to have problems. And I got to give Ruckus a lot of credit. I'm sure more people are doing it now, but they had the smart antenna technology where if they saw interference one way, they would just not even transmit that way. They would transmit to where they could have coverage without interference. So they actually had to listen before talk, and they could change a pattern of their antenna. But with that said, again, you're going to have dead spots. It's hard to know your coverage ahead of time because it's unlicensed. You don't know where anybody's at. People are popping up Wi-Fi all the time. And the thing about Wi-Fi, you have a lot of different vendors out there making it. You know, I always considered Ruckus more of a carrier class Wi-Fi. And I know there's other ones. There's tons of them. And then you have Ubiquiti, which is very cheap. A lot of people put it out because it's just so cost effective. I mean, how can you argue with a price? Just cheap. Anyway, don't want to get into that. My point is, if you ever tried to connect somewhere like a train station or an airport where they have a lot of hotspots, you know, the quality isn't always there. You don't know what you're going to get with a backlink. You're going to be in and out, in and out. The whole idea of LTEU is that, you know, it would connect a little better, which maybe there will be 10 LTEU. It's unlicensed. 10 LTEU hotspots or access points. What are you going to do? You're going to probably run into the same problem you have now. And supposedly it uses a lot more bandwidth, so I have a link in there where Ruckus actually wrote a pretty good story about it. But that leads me into my next one, LAA, which is Licensed Assisted Access. The reason I'm bringing that one up is because here is where LTEU and LTE licensed all work together. You have the two bands are working as one. They have carrier aggregation. Everyone's working together. It's very clean. You don't have to switch formats. You don't have to worry about timing or synchronization. And the pros are it's just going to be awesome for bandwidth, just amazing, according to what they say. I'm sure they tested it. I'm sure they'll get some ridiculous speeds through it. And Ericsson has an entire presentation, which I have the link in there, in wadeforwireless.com or wadesarver.com/podcast. The theory is that with carrier aggregation, the uplinks and downlinks would all work together. So you, as the end user, wouldn't see much of a change except awesome bandwidth. I mean, it'll just be amazing. Plus, it'll make the spectrum a lot more efficient because now they can use Wi-Fi or LTEU instead of Wi-Fi and LTE licensed all working together. So that's the whole idea, would be access. You could use your license. You could use the unlicensed. It's all LTE. And the theory is you have a huge pipe. Looks like a huge pipe. It would be like aggregating. I don't know how many of you work with routers, but in the old days, you used to aggregate a bunch of T1s together or several DS3s to get one big pipe. That was a big deal on the wired side. Then they can do it with fiber, too. You know, you have different fibers you can get to work together. You can have two fibers, transmit and receive. That's generally how it works. But if you could have two fibers for receive and two fibers for transmit, and they can all work together, the aggregation would be great. That's a goal. The pros are awesome bandwidth. The cons are new devices, like for your new smartphones, because it's going to be a new chipset, right? I'm pretty sure it's not a software upgrade in the smartphone. You're going to need to put out new, you're going to have to replace your Wi-Fi hotspots with LTEU hotspots, right? The access points are going to have to be unlicensed LTEU. And then probably the carrier, the E-Node B and the core, they have to make all their changes, but they're constantly making changes. Something to think about. But LAA, for a lot of these, specifically Verizon Wireless, that's the goal. Because they want to get, again, it comes down to getting the most bandwidth for the least amount of money. Now, with that said, they still want to have their licensed bandwidth because that's their bread and butter. That's how they're going to communicate and everything. And if the Wi-Fi all goes down, like I don't know about you, but here at home, I have no battery backup on my Wi-Fi. I don't have a UPS anymore. It's just a hassle. The carriers have to have something there for emergency calls. They have to be ready for emergencies. So I just want you to think about that. And it's pretty cool. Now, Qualcomm has something new called MultiFire, which is MULTE Fire. And, you know, I don't know a lot about it. It's pretty new. I got to tell you, it took so much time to research his other stuff. It just is something that's brand new, and I don't know how they're going to work it into, but I think it's new for everything. I think the MultiFire is going to be new access points. I think it's probably going to use LTEU, but I don't have a key where it's going to go. It's just cool. They'll probably have it out in time for 5G. That Qualcomm, they're always thinking. That Dr. Paul Jacobs, guy's always one step ahead. But at some point, I would think Qualcomm's going to have to pick one or two. I don't know how they're going to support everything, but I don't know. Maybe they, like I said, Dr. Paul Jacobs, that guy's always thinking. He's a smart guy. Plus, not just smart, you know, obviously they come up with some awesome technology. You know, they did a lot for CDMA. They're doing a lot for LTE and the smartphones and displays. You know, the guy covers the company, Qualcomm, covers everything. Now, I'm no expert at this, but it takes a little more research. So it's somehow they'll have to bring everything together, but it's going to play a big part in the densification. Why? I would imagine everything's got to play together. Wi-Fi is everywhere. It's not going to go away overnight, and it's not going to, I don't think it's going to go away, period. But Wi-Fi is everywhere. I mean, you just need it. It's at home, it's everywhere. LTEU, is it going to come out? Probably, but who knows what it's going to cost. You know, maybe only carriers can deploy LTEU. Maybe that's their goal. And they're going to put it out and play. And instead of carrier grade Wi-Fi, you'll have carrier grade LTEU out there. Are they going to still deploy their license bands? Well, yeah, they just spent billions on them. They're not going to sit on them. So that's going to be out there soon. I think it's just a way for them to get more bandwidth to the end user, because that's what it's all going to come down to, right? I mean, we're trying to get everything as common, as efficient as possible. We have a common format now called LTE, long-term evolution, to transport everything. It's not like some people have GSM and some people have CDMA. Those days are gone. Everything's LTE. Now, everyone has their little nuances in their LTE, and then some people come out with some new tricks like T-Mobile with a voice over Wi-Fi. That's pretty cool, right? The Wi-Fi people, or at least the Wi-Fi groups, are not really happy about LTE. And like I said, it was really about interference, but you know, I don't get that argument. I got to give the Wi-Fi people a lot of props. Wi-Fi has been upgraded, if you want to say. They're constantly making efforts to improve Wi-Fi. And it's really cool, you know. I mean, 802.11n, 802.11ac, you know, it just keeps going and going and going. So I think that LTEU will never replace it. I don't think we have to worry about that. But I do see it, you know, working together with LTEU. You know, your phone's going to probably have to accept Wi-Fi, have to accept LTEU, which is, you know, another format, and also the carrier-grade stuff. Carrier-grade stuff's already in your phone. So that's how, you know, Qualcomm makes those chips. I hope this helps. I hope this helps you figure out what's going on out there, and I hope it helps give you a little clarity of where things are going in the market. There's going to be bugs. They're going to have problems. That's why they test things. That's why they do a lot of lab testing before they put it in the network. Then when they put it in the network, you know, certain devices will have different nuances. All those devices will have to be tested in a lab. The carriers are very cautious about that. They just don't throw something on there. But if you want more information, there's a 3G, 4G blog out there in the UK. And they do an awesome job. I have a link in there to that. You can download a Nokia presentation. Nokia has information out there. It's pretty good. And then Fierce Wireless has some standards about unlicensed and the FCC. You know, they talk about different things. That's pretty good. So I do have links in there for you guys to look at. Trying to help. You know, I know I'm not as clear on this as I would like to be, and I know it feels like I breezed over it, but I did a lot of research for this. I wanted to release this 2 weeks ago, but there's so much information out there. It's very confusing, and I'm just trying to clarify it the best way I can. So if you have more to add, just let me know. You know, maybe I missed something. Maybe I'm wrong about something. But I'm telling you, I like all this. I'm a big fan of wireless. Wi-Fi is amazing. I mean, really, could we live without Wi-Fi? How many Wi-Fi-only devices do we have? I have a lot. Let me tell you, I'm a big fan of Wi-Fi. I think LTE-U is really, really cool. I think it's neat. I see Verizon Wireless pushing for it because I think they see a way to, you know, really improve their system, really improve what they have. I mean, they're really smart people over there. I'm not really clear on what AT&T Wireless, what their stance is, but hey, they're going to roll with it. If they see opportunity, I think they're going to go with it. T-Mobile, obviously, voice over Wi-Fi. I mean, that's really neat, right? They got it to work. They got it to work reliably. They're not taking any chances with it. It's out there. It's real. It's here today. I don't know if they can get it to hop back and forth yet, but I know that's been a struggle to go from Wi-Fi to the carrier's channel and back to Wi-Fi. Maybe they have it working. I don't know. But so far, the people that use it seem to like it. And I really see more voice over Wi-Fi happening. I mentioned earlier about the history of this, about how the carriers, I wouldn't say the carriers, there were a lot of people that tried to do voice over Wi-Fi and have voice over Wi-Fi devices. And they were probably ahead of their time and probably a little ahead of the technology. But I do know the carriers experimented with having apps do the calls over LTE. In other words, I'll give you an example. So you have Skype, right? Skype's very popular. How many people use Skype? A lot of people use Skype. Very popular. I think what they wanted to do early on, instead of really paying the OEMs for voice over LTE, I think they wanted to have an app that could do it, because that would be cool, right? Well, you know, you could just get on Skype. You could make your call. Apple has FaceTime. I know it's video, but, you know, they had their own method of doing it. There's a lot of options out there. They tried with IMing, they tried voice. But I think what it comes down to is emergency services, because when you hit 911, you want it to go right to your phone. You want the phone to work like a phone. Now, I'm not saying, you know, the younger generation doesn't text all the time and do stuff like that. If someone's hurt, if there's an accident, if it's an emergency situation, you want to dial 911. You can text emergency services. I don't know if you could just text 911, but you can text emergency services, and I think that's great. If you're in a bad situation, or, you know, someone's holding a gun to your head, or you're locked in the trunk of a car and you can't talk, if you can text, that's awesome. Send a text. Hopefully the GPS information can go. You know, there's a lot of nuances that need to be worked out. But the reality is, if someone gets hit by a car, you want to call 911. If someone has a heart attack, you want to call 911. You don't want to sit there and type out a message. You know, my dad is having a heart attack. Please come quick. I mean, what you want to do is call 911 and bam, my dad had a heart attack. What do I do? That's what you want to do. I hope this helped. If you got more information, let me know. I'm always looking into this. I want to put something out about carrier aggregation, because it's going to be a huge part of the future. And all the RF design, the optimization, well, specifically, you know who I look at it affecting? Obviously design and the guys up front that have to implement it, and obviously the people rolling it out. But the optimization people have to change the way they do the optimization. You know, before they just had to look at each carrier. Now they have to get devices that understand the carrier aggregation so they can put together the bandwidth on all the carriers. It's something that RootMetrics is going to have to deal with. You know, RootMetrics is pretty cool. They look at all this. Well, they have to go a step farther, and they have to stay ahead with, I would say, at least keep up with what's going on out there and what's been GA'd, GA for generally accepted. So whatever's been GA'd out there, they're going to want to do. So you optimization people, this is where you have to do your homework and be ready. Be ready. All right. Be smart, be safe, pay attention. You have more to add, let me know. See ya.